Log Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Once again, in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, it is so good to be with you all, my listeners. Once again, on tonight, we come to receive another word from the Lord on tonight. So I pray and hope that you already know what I'm about to say, especially for the listeners that tuned in faithfully. And for those that are tuning in for the first time on tonight, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be bringing forth God's word on tonight. But he always shares with us inspirational points. He's going to do that first before he delivers God's word on tonight. So you will most definitely need your Bibles, pens and paper, so that you can follow along as we go through God's word together on tonight. But we also always open up with prayer. So I'm asking our listeners, if you would please pray with me at this time, because we do serve an awesome God, and he can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again on tonight to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name, because you are truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth in your hands, and you are in total control at all times. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. You don't slumber, you don't sleep. You don't forget. You cannot fail, you cannot change, you cannot lie. So we are grateful on tonight, knowing that you are our Heavenly Father and you are our Creator. So we give you glory, honor, and praise on tonight in Jesus' name. We come now asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer in Jesus' name, those that are being faithful doers of your word, all over the land, Heavenly Father. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, because your word lets us know that even though we're saved in Jesus' name, we do falter, we do sin. So that's why we're so grateful on tonight that we can come through your Son, Jesus Christ, those that are saved in his name, and ask to be forgiven of our sins and transgressions so that we can move forward and complete our God assignment in the earth for your glory, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come now, listen to all those that may be listening on tonight that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. It's our prayer, our hope, and desire that something will be said through your man of God on tonight that will prick their hearts. They will open their own mouth and confess their sins, and they will ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them, even on tonight. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. We pray and lift up all those that have believed on tonight. I especially lift up my church family in the loss, Bishop James A. Jennings, and my church family in the loss of our church mother, Mother Georgia Smith. May her heavenly transition. And so we want to continue to lift up her entire family. We want to lift up our church family in this great loss, but heaven's gain. Not only the Smith family, but we want to lift up all those that have bereaved on tonight all over the land, those that have lost loved ones due to the wildfires over in on the West Coast, those that are still losing loved ones due to the coronavirus. We lift all those that have bereaved on tonight all over the land. My cousin, Vanessa King, I continue to lift her up and her family, and the loss of my aunt, Lucy Mae King, who just made her heavenly transition as well. So we continue to lift up all those that have bereaved on tonight all over the land in the name of Jesus, because we do know that he is a comforter, he's our strength, and he's our peace and our joy, even in the midst of our sorrow. We also lift up all those that are sick and afflicted in the name of Jesus. We pray that God will continue to send his ministering angels to anoint you, to continue to strengthen you, continue to strengthen your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ, knowing that you are healed, you're delivered, and you're set free in Jesus' name. So we now pray now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, that you would be glorified, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Continue to bless every listener that tunes in faithfully to this worldwide ministry, that you would be glorified, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. All those that are touching and agree with this prayer, say amen. Well,
amen.
Tonight we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, faith is not believing God can, it is knowing he will. Once again, tonight's scripture food for thought. Faith is not believing God can, it is knowing he will. And I'm going to add something to that. Not only is it knowing that he will, but he will in his own timing. He knows when to bless us. So I just thank God for that spiritual food for thought for tonight, and I pray that it was a blessing for someone on tonight. We're getting ready to go to our music break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Again, to the listeners, I pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along as we get ready to go through God's Word together on tonight. We're going to go to our music break right now, and then we're going to come back and yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Enjoy the music break.
I will rejoice.
was saying.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord on tonight. I give you praise. Yes, this is for those that are grieving on tonight in the loss of loved ones. That song is especially for you because I'm a living witness. Sometimes it feels like it's hard to do, but we still have to give God praise even in the hour of bereavement because God knows what he's doing. We don't understand it right now, but as we have always heard down through the years, by and by, when the morning comes, we will understand it better by and by. Some things we cannot understand now in the flesh. So we just thank God that he's in control and he knows exactly what he's doing and he will comfort and strengthen you. I'm a living witness and I'm sure that I have witnesses on the line as they tune in on tonight that can bear witness that the Lord will give you strength. He will give you peace. He will give you joy and strength and comfort you even in your hour of bereavement. So that's why even in the midst of bereavement, we can still give God praise. So right now we are ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem. We need to go directly into God's word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Once again, look like these Saturdays and these days are coming so rapidly as far as God's word is concerned, and all I can say is that I love it. The opportunity to bring forth God's word to God's people. I won't tarry before you long, just use the time that has been allotted to me to bring forth his word and to also give thanks unto him. Now, tonight's poem is an encouragement, as they all are, and as Brother Brown was saying, it's an inspiration, and it's called simply The Best You Can, and it's self-explanatory, and it reads, when the best you can isn't good enough, and your life comes apart at the seams, after giving your all in all, you will still stumble and fall. That's not the end of your dreams. When your heart deceives you and loved ones leave you, and all of your hope is gone, God is that friend who will stay to the end, and he will never leave you alone. When your light goes dim, just trust in him, and he will brighten your day. It's not as hard as you think, and before you can blink, Jesus will lead you the way. Trouble may come, and trouble may go, while the mind have to last so long. In case you haven't heard, it says in God's word, let the weak say that I'm strong. When your money is tight and you're arguing fight, looking for someone to blame, just hold your ground and don't leave town. Hard times just selected your name. Don't be sad, don't be blue. God is only using you, someone that the devil can't stop. What you lost, he'll restore and give you so much more and take you all the way to the top. When doing the best you can, you will fall short of your plan. It will make you holler, scream, and yelp. The reason loved ones bailed and you always failed, you tried to do it without God's help. Amen. But we know that we must keep on trying. We know that we must not allow the things that is going on right now to detour us, because we're too close. It was a Bible song called A Long Time Ago, I Was Coming Up. It was called I'm Too Close to Turn Around. And whenever you get close to anything, it seems like all hell began to break loose. It seems like everything that you planned, it seems like everything is going wrong. But Brother Paul told us that he finished the course, and we must also hang in there and finish the course. Now, the Lord gave us a lesson tonight, and the lesson is coming from Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13. And I'll be reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible, and it reads, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, that there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him in the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I not know you. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I've just read unto you from the Gospel as recorded by St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13. May the Lord add a blessing to reading, to hearing, and the doing of his word and his will, and may it edify our souls forever. Now, our topic for tonight was a simple topic. Now, I wanted to bring forth a certain topic, but I did not want to start off offending anybody. I didn't want to start off hurting nobody's feeling, anything like that. Now, the topic that I had chose was, don't let your foolishness make you miss out on seeing the Lord. But we're not going to go in that direction. We're going to use the same topic. We're just going to modify the words. We're going to say, don't let your bad decisions stop you from seeing the Lord and being with the Lord. And see, sometimes our choice of words as Christians, we begin to use words and they become offensive to people. I mean, a lot of times people say, well, you or the preacher just sugarcoated that and didn't really tell that individual what was on their mind or what it was that they needed to know. But there's always a more excellent way of bringing forth God's word. And as I said, we're going to use the word foolishness for the simple reason we're going to eliminate that. Because a lot of times you may mention the word or the word of God is mentioned and people take offense to it. Because if I'm not mistaken, it says in this word, call no man a fool. Because all of God's children are not fools. And when you make a statement like that, that person, when you say a fool, you're saying that person is stupid. That person is an idiot. That person is asinine. But if you turn around and say you are acting very foolishly, oh, that's a lot of foolishness that you're talking. See, that eliminates it, because it's been many, many times that we have told our children, you acting like this or you acting like that, or told our daughters and our sons or whatever, especially in our young lady's adolescent lies. We may have told her, hey, you know, you're painting your face and you're out there acting like a harlot. And they took it real personal, but we said acting like, we did not call them one, but the characteristics of a harlot, you know, jumping in and out of cars and being with this person and that person, even though it may not have been any type of physical activity, we say the activities is that of a harlot. Or our sons, that you acting like a thug. We did not address him as thug. We say that he has taken on those characteristics. So we're going to get into tonight's lesson. I say we're going to use the word foolish, but we're not going to direct that at you, because see, being foolish is just having the ability or not having the ability to make proper judgment. And that's why we say don't let bad decisions, and foolishness is nothing but bad decisions. But see, we're going to go over tonight's lesson verse by verse, and that will give us a much better understanding of it. Say, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now see, we know that a virgin is an individual that has been undefiled. Now, morally speaking, we would say that a virgin is a person or a young lady that has not had sexual intercourse or have not been defiled or deflowered or whatever word you want to use. But it said there was 10 of them. Now, each one of them was pure in their own way. Each one of them was clean in their own way. But they said 5 were wise. No, they took their lamps, which was a wise decision, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, so far, we're all on the same page. Okay, it's just like going on a trip. You plan that trip, and then you begin to make preparations for that trip. And it says that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Okay, now, I want to point out to you that each one of them was pure. Each one of them had the characteristics that they had not been exposed to different things. And so in the process, then, they qualified. They had not been, as I say, they had not been deflowered. And so I'm saying this to later on in the presentation to make a point to you that you could have the purest of thoughts. You could have the purest of intentions, but your mind could be on one thing. You could be pure in your mind or evil in your heart, evil in your heart and unpure in your mind. So they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Remember, I was telling you a few minutes ago that when you plan a trip, now if you're going from here to North Carolina or North Carolina to someplace else that's a distance away, the first thing that you do is you check your oil, you check your gas, you make sure that you have enough gas to make it to your destination. But those that were foolish, they took the lamps, which was a good thing, so that if they were traveling by night or when night came, they would be able to see their way through. But they didn't take no oil. Now, how many times have we went someplace and we know that we had to take certain provisions, but we went there unprepared? All God's word is saying tonight that we have to prepare ourselves. And see, we cannot allow that bad decision of not preparing ourselves keep us from reaching our destination. So, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Well, that's smart. That's wise. That's prudent. That's understandable. We cannot allow ourselves not to do what's necessary in order to bring a good trip to fruition. So what I'm saying to us tonight is that check off your checklist. Check off everything that you need even before you go to a place. You're supposed to check off the list. But see, by them being virgins, this also meant one word. They were very, very naive. They were inexperienced. And see, you got to be careful because people will prey upon that inexperience. People will prey upon your naivety, and it will lead you to destruction. It will lead you to trouble. It will lead you to injury. Why? Because if you look out there today, people are preying on what? Innocent people, on innocent virgins, those that have not been exposed to the wiles of the world. And so the father were wise. They took their lamps with them. They had oil for their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So we know that the bridegroom was making plans for the wedding. But while he worked, there's nothing wrong with being well rested when it's time to go someplace. As a matter of fact, whenever you go on the trip, it's always best to catch yourself 40 winks to get yourself into the slumber. They say slumbered and slept, so this wasn't no ordinary sleep. It was when you slumber, that's a deep sleep. So they had one of those sleeps that you wake up and yawn and you say, oh, I'm ready to go out there and conquer the world. Now, that was smart. That was a good decision right there. But see, we're going to get to the point in a few minutes where that bad decision is going to haunt them. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. So we know that the saying is like you get your best sleep when it's time to wake up. Now, that may sound kind of crazy, but that is so. So the call was made. So the alarm clock, I'll put it this way, the alarm clock went off and said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now, verse number 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Now, we're going to stop right there now. Back in the 50s and in the 60s in Detroit, I don't know about any other place. I don't know about North Carolina, whatever. But see, we didn't have the pleasure of having all the modern stuff. So, you know, we occasionally had our lights cut off. And it was not uncommon for people to have their lights cut off. But then as a substitute for those lights, we had oil lamps. And for you older people, you know what an oil lamp is. It illuminates your house. It gives you that light that you need, but you know that in order for the flame to burn evenly, that you must trim your wick. You must have, because other than that, it will smoke up the lampshade and you will not get the illumination that you need in order to go forth. So they woke up and they trimmed their lamps. But then, lo and behold, guess what? They discovered something. The five foolish, it says, said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Uh-oh. Now, we remember when we first started off on this journey, it said they didn't take no oil with them. Now, what it looked like, you're going on a trip and you don't have no money. You're going now. When the Lord tells you to do something, that's totally different. Because when the disciples went with him, he told them, don't bring nothing with him. I mean, don't bring nothing, excuse me, with you. That he would provide all of those necessities. But this was a different type of thing. Whenever you go, or whenever you get an invitation to something, you're supposed to make all the preparations ahead so that when that event takes place, that you'll be ready. And the foolish said, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, I want to compare this now. Could you imagine those that frequent the casinos or make foolish moves or make bad decisions, go out there, go to the casino, and then when rent time comes, they got the nerve enough to say, hey, why don't you loan me your rent so I can pay my rent? So they say, give us. They didn't put in no good, they didn't put in no plea, they didn't ask, they say, give. Now, give sound more like a demand to me than asking somebody something. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Wait a minute. So, if I was to modernize that, the wise say, excuse me, not in this movie. That's not even in our script. It said, if we give you ours, just like sometimes we, you know, we know that people that went out there and squandered their money or did something foolish with their belongings, and then they come to us and expect for us to compensate for the mistakes that they made. But the wise virgin, see, they had a heart. They told them, and see, elderly people, don't give your money to your grandchildren. Go out there and waste on foolishness. And you know that that's what they're doing. Don't go in there and tell them that, hey, this is my last $5 right here. This is my last $10. Because you know what? Those that have went out there, those have acted foolishly, those that have acted unwise, those that have made bad decisions, they will pass that tab onto you and think nothing about it. But see, the wise, they had a little compassion in their heart. I'm going to tell you what they said. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, I'm going to tell you, they gave a good tip right there. They said, no, you can't have none of our oil, but it's a 24-hour Walmart just around the corner. Why don't you go there and get yourself some oil? Because you ain't got nothing coming. And every now and then, whatever it is that the Lord has given you, you have to utilize that and not squander that or give it away to somebody else. Because the wise virgin said, lest there be none for us. So they were being wise, and they were being why? Because they had experience. And it did not specify the ages of these virgins, but the five that were wise, they had experience, they had wisdom, they had the ability to look ahead into the future and say, no. So, but they did give them a recommendation. They didn't say, hey, no, you better get out my face. But they gave them a recommendation. So, we're getting late in the day now because, okay, if you notice it, when midnight came, and we know now life in the city now, at midnight, it doesn't come to a halt or anything like that, but that's when all the trouble, that's when all of the destruction, that's when all the murders, if you look at your local papers or whatever, you notice between 12 and 3 or 12 or 4, you say, wow, that happened at 12 o'clock at night when everybody, and I'm not saying when all decent folk, but I'm not saying that those out there is not decent, but when, because there might be some that's working at midnight shift. There might be some that have to get up and go to the store because they baby formula, they needed some formula. So we looked here, and it was a request made. And they told him to give us the oil, but the wise answer, they said, no, not in this movie. Because if we give you ours, then it won't be enough for us. So I'm just saying, you grandparents with the virgin minds who are naive to the games that some of our grandchildren are playing, or the manipulation that salesman is playing, or their manipulation that scam artist is playing, and believe it or not, there are Christians who want to get involved in get-rich-quick schemes. Now, you know, work all your life, here goes somebody that's going to enrich you by selling you some stock in a fertilizer plant. Now, how crazy that, not unwise. And see, all of these things will cause you to do what? To miss out. So we're moving right along expeditiously. So they told him, say, no, we just got enough for ourselves, but you can go. You can go. And if you notice now, this will come up under the title of procrastination. See, the five foolish, they procrastinated. They put things off until the last minute, as some of us do. You know, raise your hand if you're guilty. Say, I can't see you, but you can see yourself. But it's a lot of things that we need to put off and wait until the last minute, and then we had to rush to do it and end up missing out on something. Because a lot of times when we do these things, guess what? It makes us late for service. It makes us late for work. We finna get ready to leave, about to leave out the house, and then all of a sudden, my son or daughter want me to bring him a bag of potato chips. Hey, you're going to have to get those potato chips when I get back. Something foolish, something that could have been taken care of yesterday or the day before. So procrastination, because of the naivety of being a virgin and being unaware of the situation, caused them to be in a panic mode. So they went. They said, okay, hey, I'm driving. Let's all go down to this Walmart and get this sale, because, hey, we could buy four and get one free. But then it said, but while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. See, that's what I'm saying, that a lot of times you would most certainly miss out. How many times have we had to out for something, or we was expecting that phone call, and it seemed like that phone call wasn't going to come. Then all of a sudden our neighbor called us to the front porch, and then by the time the phone rung and we got back to it, the call that we were looking for, we missed out on. So don't miss out on your blessings because of your foolishness, because of your bad decisions. See, I'm saying foolishness because that is foolishness when we do things and we are aware of it. Now, see, we're not aware of it, but then we have to be able to look at a situation and understand the magnitude of that situation, how important that situation is. So, and they that were ready went in with him. So while one group was gone, other people, the other five, they went with the bridegroom, and they went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Okay, now over in Revelation, see, we're gonna go right over to Revelation 3 and 7. I'm gonna tell you what it is, and I'm just gonna summarize it. I'm gonna paraphrase it momentarily, but the word says, when I open up a door, no man can close it. When I shut it, no man can open it. So, okay, now we're looking at these virgins on the outside, these ones that are still pure in heart and pure in body, but they made a bad decision. And the door got open to them. Now, see, now, if we think about it, I mean, they weren't no thugs, they weren't no gangsters, they weren't no harlots, they were virgins. But see, they made a mistake. So this should let each and every last one of us know that we have to be careful. They were only guilty of one thing, and that was making a bad decision at the wrong time. So afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Now, can you imagine this? Just like the Lord possibly told Moses, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Mm-hmm. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Say, open to us. Wait a minute. Now, you know, and this is one time when better late than never does not apply. A lot of times we say, better late than never, when, you know, coming into the Lord, when we then went out there, we then partied our shoes off and everything, then we say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm ready. But this is one situation, and see, we got to be careful. that better late than never, or either what about this? No refills. The life that you got, life that the Lord gave you, that all that the Lord gave you to maintain, there's no refills on that. It's time for us to stop being wasteful. And I want to digress here momentarily. And you know how we tell our kids sometimes when they make bad decisions. Boy, turn that light off. In the middle of the daytime, they got the lights on. They got, you know, when you leave out the room, turn that television off. Now, see, that's being wasteful. And see, being wasteful is a bad decision, because that bike that he wanted to, that you promised him for his birthday, he can't get that bike. Why? Because you had to use that money to pay the light bill that he left the lights on, which he should not have done. So it has an effect to you. We'll miss out, and we'll miss out in so many ways that we can't understand it. And so, moving right along, it says, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Mm-hmm. Now, look at that door and look why it was shut. A door is probably two main reasons. That's to keep your friends in and your enemies out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could you imagine? I don't know you would start off. Hey, I gave you the invitation, but see, I don't know you, because if I knew you or you knew me, you would know that I'm not going to announce when I'm coming. So I'm just telling my brothers and my sisters, get ready for whatever it is that the Lord has planned for you. Get ready, and not only get ready, but stay ready. How many times, ladies, that you were going out with handsome Harry, and then he was 5 minutes late, and you were so impatient that you took off your makeup and you took off your good clothes, and then you missed out because he said, "Oh, that's okay. We just order pizza." When he's going to take you to one of the finest restaurants in the city. So we cannot allow our impatience or our unpreparedness to keep us from seeing the Lord, from being with the Lord, from being with the bridegroom. He said, I don't know you. Now, that's something else when the Lord disowns you, when you say, wait a minute, I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this is piggybacking what I just said. It said in verse number 13, watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So that's the kicker right there. That's the kicker. Mm-hmm. We got to be extra careful, because see, when he say coming, see, a long time ago the Lord gave me this. He gave me a poem, and one day I'll read it to you. But it was said that nobody knows. Christian soldiers never leave your post. Why? Because nobody knows the schedule of the Holy Ghost. So, Christian soldier, stay on your post. Now, these virgins had to leave off of their post and go to get something that they should have had in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They went out there and they missed out. They went out there and they missed out. They didn't have the opportunity. Because why? Because the Lord, he didn't know them. I'm going to give you some examples now. It's always good to give some examples of how foolishness, bad decisions can make you lose out. Eve, I need to call you to witness stand for a minute. What happened? You know, the serpent, that fruit looked so good. And he could kind of like convince me that, you know, that it was pretty good. And I made a bad decision. Well, what you do? I ate of the fruit. What happened? I missed out. I was kicked out. I got the eviction notice. Okay, what about you, Adam? Well, me too, but, you know, I was kind of, you know, I made like two bad decisions. I listened to my wife and then I blamed it on her. Now I want you to think about this. How many times have we or our children used this as an excuse? We say, he said, this woman that you gave me, we passed on to somebody else. Now mother tell us or daddy tell us, look, if little Jimmy jumped off the bridge, are you going to jump off the bridge too? No, sir. Well, why did you go against something that you know was wrong for you to do? A bad decision. All right, now, Moses, what about you? Well, you know, I kind of God instructed me to do one thing, but I did another. But what the results? I missed out.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, now, children of Israel, what happened to you? Well, you know, we had got delivered, you know, from Egypt land and everything, and then Moses just kind of like, you know, Moses kind of slow. And he kind of like took a long time. So Aaron, you know, he kind of like gave in. You know, we started partying and everything. You know, we went back to our old ways. So we just kind of like walked around in the desert for 40 years. And then we wasn't dying fast enough. So God opened up the earth on us. We missed out. Why? Because we had that bad decision that at that time we wanted to party. We wanted to have a good time. We wanted to, we know that Pharaoh was coming. And we said to ourselves, we didn't trust God enough to do what it was that the leader had told us that God wanted us to do. We didn't have enough trust. Okay, losing your money in the casino. Uh-oh, watch out now. Bad decision. It's a real bad decision. Make you miss out on those, you know, on those good meals that you're planning. Make you miss out on paying those bills. Bad decisions. Don't let them make you miss out on seeing the Lord, receiving your blessing, or being with the Lord. Okay. Now, Judas, what about you? Well, you know, I made a bad decision too. Man, what did you do? Well, you know, at the time, you know, I was kind of tight for a little change. So, you know, they offered me like, you know, 30 pieces of silver just to show, you know, to betray the Lord. A bad decision. What happened to him? He missed out also. So I'm just saying, do not allow your bad decisions to make you miss out. Now, as I say, if you think about the purity of the virgins, you think about that they were undefiled. But then again, okay, we know that even with that purity, it was a certain time of the month that they were considered not to be pure. But they still were virgins. But see, God has given us an opportunity to do what it is. All we got to do is get the service on time. How many times we got there and we said, well, you know, I'm going to miss devotional. I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss that, you know. I'm not going to go there to the preacher, start preaching. But how many times have the choir sung and the blessings was coming down in the choir? Somebody got happy in the choir stand. Somebody in the church got happy because that song, that joyful noise that was coming from the choir stand, it touched somebody in their heart and it delivered them. But it's not going to be the music that's going to deliver you, but the music and everything and all of these things is all a part of the recipe that is going to get you ready. It's going to put you in the right frame of mind so that when the bridegroom comes, you'll be there to meet him, as opposed to your mind being over here, over Charlie's house, over Sweet Suzanne's house. So we have to be careful. Don't let our bad decisions interfere, stop, impede, halt, hinder you from being with the Lord. He said he don't know you. Now, it's something else when the Lord said, you know, depart from me, I know you not. He said that quite a few times, you know, what he said, what, you workers of iniquity. Lord, didn't we do good work? Yeah, boy, you worked.
Mm-hmm.
But you worked iniquity. You know, you worked, but then again, you know, you were faithful of a few things, but you just couldn't leave your neighbor's wife alone. A bad decision. You just couldn't put this down. Another bad decision. You know, you worked. You know, you was enthusiastic about it when you came to work. But you did not prepare your time for this, because when I came, we don't know the time or the hour when the Lord does appear. We don't know that. So I'm just saying, you know, we use the virgins, but we use several other people to let us know. We use Joshua. We use the children of Israel. We use Moses. We use Adam and Eve to show us that bad decisions, and you probably can find other people that made bad decisions and they didn't get that opportunity to be with the Lord. We know that bad decisions haunt our life, and then we not only pay for it, but guess what? Our children pay for it. We go out there, we lose our money doing squandering it on, you know, because I like shoes. And I go there and I, now that's foolish. To go out there and buy some shoes, and I already got 50 pair of Nikes in the closet, but I go out there and buy the newest ones, the ones that got propellers on them. Now that's foolish. You know, the ones that's waterproof, that's foolish, and my family is hungry. So don't let this out. And don't let your family miss out because of the foolish things that we do. Because they say, are we going to be wise about this? Are we going to do the smart thing? Are we going to make the intelligent decisions? Are we going to be foolish and make bad judgment? As I say, I'm not going to go so far as to call anybody a fool, but sometimes our behavior is of a foolish nature. And that's because we're naive. That's because we unintelligent to something, that's because we're not exposed to it. A lot of things that could happen, and don't think that somewhere in the recess of your mind that is not some virginity there, because a lot of our minds is fertile for the okie doke. And if I don't know about it, because the ignorance can cause us to be virgins in our way of thinking, and would make us susceptible to things that could be injurious to us, things that could throw us off track, things that could make us lose our standing with the Lord. But I say that these virgins were only guilty of not being prudent, not being thoughtful, not thinking ahead, not having the experience to know that when you make a trip or when you're about to do something, especially for the Lord, that you have to be prepared. Now, the wise, they got into the marriage. But the foolish, I don't know you. So we have a choice to make. And all Deacon Cox saying tonight is that whatever you do, take time to think about it and think about the consequences of your actions. If you think about that, you weigh the pros and the cons, and don't wait till the last minute to do something, especially when it comes down to the Lord, because the time is far spent. Work while in the day, or the night coming, no man can work. So I thank you for this opportunity to come into your home during these troubled times. May the Lord bless you, and may ever keep you. Remember, don't let your bad decision, I'm not going to call you foolish tonight, I'll call myself foolish, but don't let your bad decisions keep you from being with the Lord. Amen. Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Deacon Marvin Cox, for that word on tonight. I'm reading the scripture, which you just read to us, in the book of St. Matthew, chapter 25, verse 13. And I'm going to read it again. It says, watch therefore, for ye know not, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. That kind of ties in with my spiritual food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
To put again, faith, which says, faith is not believing God can, it is knowing that He will. So,
all right.
We are Christians, we have to know, we got to know whom and whom we serve. We have to know in whom we trust and whom we believe. We have to put our faith and trust in God, knowing that He is going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. But we too, as Christians, we have to do our part. So sometimes
right.
we tie God's hands when we don't do our part that He has instructed us to do in His Word. If we don't do our part, that holds up His hands, that ties His hands from doing His part. And so we don't want to do that because we made a bad decision. And so this lesson is a great lesson for all of us on tonight, including myself. And even those of you that may be listening, that may be pastors, that may be bishops, that may be overseers or teachers of the Word of God, this word was for all of us on tonight. Even the man of God that delivered the word, Deacon Margaret Cox, this word was for him too. So no one is exempt from this word for tonight, because we do not want to miss out because of bad decisions that we make. Yes, me too. I make bad decisions too. So we thank God for Jesus. We thank God that when we do make bad decisions or when we do sin, we can go to the Lord for help. We can go to Jesus for help because He is our help. He is our strength. He said we can cast all of our cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us even when we make bad decisions. And He knows we're going to make bad decisions. He knows that we do sin. So that's why we have to be so grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for His Word. Thank God that He is a promise keeper. And thank God that He's not like man. So you on tonight, and this applies to me as well, we don't want to miss out because we made bad decisions. So we want to thank Deacon Marvin Cox for that word on tonight. I pray that you all have received this word. I know I have for myself, and I'm going to share it with others. So I pray that you share this word with your friends and your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, your church members. Share this word with them. Give them the website to this worldwide ministry and platform so that they will be able to go to the archives and pull it up and listen to it for themselves. The website for the show is blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. Again, you can do that. And again, all these shows are kept in archives. I just love it. I love how the Lord fixed this thing with the World Wide Web, that His word is going forth all over the world. Because Jesus said before He left this world, this earth, He said that greater works that we was going to be able to do. So God already knew. He foresaw the future. He knew that the world was in existence. And we can reach more people through the World Wide Web. We can reach millions of people at one time. So we just thank God for this platform. Thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox and all the guests that come forth over this worldwide platform delivering the good news of Jesus Christ, delivering God's word for God's people, and for delivering His word for those that are spiritually blind that tuned in, that they would have a chance to come to know who Jesus is and be saved in Jesus' name. So we're trying to do our part by being doers of the word through this worldwide ministry and platform. So we just thank God for you on tonight, even the listeners. Continue to be faithful doers of God's word. Continue to be prayerful. Continue to meditate upon the Lord. Continue to be of good courage. And know that God will strengthen your hearts. And let your mind, which is in Christ Jesus, be in you. So we, again, thank Deacon Marvin Cox for this word on tonight. I thank all God for all, every listener. I love you. And I'm asking you all to continue to pray for me, continue to pray for this worldwide platform and ministry, that it will continue to grow, that God will be glorified through it. As we get ready to close out for tonight, I'm asking all listeners, if you will please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, In the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you again for your grace and your mercy. We once again, Heavenly Father, ask that you would move by your Spirit, continue to touch, heal, and strengthen those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies all over the land, as only you can, in the name of Jesus, because we do know that you're still working miracle signs and wonders, even on tonight. We continue to lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. We want to lift up Sister Kay, the daughter of Mother Georgia Smith, the church mothers of Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, where I am a member, and Bishop James A. Jennings is our pastor and shepherd. So the hearts of the membership and Bishop Jennings is real heavy on tonight because of the loss of our mother, church mother, Mother Georgia Smith. But we know that it is now heaven's game. So we know that she was saved. So that's what it's all about. She knew Jesus for herself. So not only her, we want to continue to live with all those that are bereaved on tonight, all over the land, that God will continue to comfort and strengthen them as only he can, and that he will touch their hearts and their minds and let them know and remember that earth sure has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So now we ask the Lord God to continue to bless the listeners, continue to protect you and your families, and bless the works of your hands and grant you the desires of your heart, that he will be glorified is our prayer in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Well, once again on tonight, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Also, continue to lift up each other in prayer. Continue to encourage one another in the words of the Lord. Good night.
Cover me, Lord, with thy Spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself. Thy breath.